Hey. Sean Arami here, Sean Geek Podcast on the road home from work today. Yes. I've been insanely over the place this week. From an emotional standpoint, an intellectual standpoint, pushed to the breaking point. It's been crazy, and I think I need to just, I'm going to use this as my pulpit, or whatever you want to call, to kind of discuss the week and what I'm getting out of what this week has been. So, I just finished reading this book by the author of The Rosie Project. I don't remember the author's name off the top of my head. He's a new author to me. And my wife read The Rosie Project and the sequel, The Rosie Effect, or whatever it's called. I honestly don't remember the author's name. But I decided to read another book he had written. And it was a book about a piano player who's also an IT guy. And he has, the basic premise of the book was he had a romance when he was young, like 25 years old or something, or 26 years old, when he was off doing IT work in Australia. He was a British guy, went to Australia like on a 3-month project, and he would, in his younger years, he would travel, do a project here for 3 months, project there for 3 months. And he fell in love with this actress who was on TV down there. He had no idea who she was, but he totally fell in love with her, went head over heels, finds out later that she's married, but she's on a break from her husband. And he has this crazy romance with her. And it ends because she decides to go back to her husband. And that's basically how the book launches. And that takes probably half the book to tell that story. And it's a back and forth from the present day to going back in the past and remembering that 3-month fling, or whatever you want to call it. So 20 years later, 22 years later, whatever the hell it is, this old fling his contacts him. And, oh, all the old fires are, start burning again. And he starts pining for this lady. It's the love that got away, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. It's typical heady stuff you might find in a romance novel. But this is a romance novel. Let's not mince words here. But this is a romance novel geared with a male lead character, so I still consider a romance novel, in my opinion. So he's been with this gal for like 20 years, and he is kind of meh in the relationship. He basically kind of pines through the whole how things, well, we still like each other, but we're in different bedrooms now. She's busy at work, I'm busy at work, we don't dislike each other, but they find all these other pursuits to keep them busy while they're married and kind of not seeing each other because they're too busy for each other, or she's too busy for him. So anyway, he's kind of bored, and then his ex contacts him, and then all of a sudden there's this thing where a scenario eventually gets set up, and he's basically thinking, well, kind of see where it goes, but I don't think he didn't expect anything of it. And eventually there's an opportunity for him to meet up with his ex. And through some misconstruement, he's just been talking to her online. He's like, well, maybe he might have a fling with her or not. And he doesn't really know what to do. Doesn't know if it's going to go anywhere, but he's open to the idea. And in the middle of that, his wife thinks that he's having an affair, but with a completely different person. And then the marriage breaks up. So while the marriage is in the middle of breaking up, he takes off for a week or 2 weeks, whatever it was, and goes and encounters his ex and realizes that she's married, not to the same man she was back then. And he's incredibly nice to him. Her new husband is incredibly nice to him. They've been married for a long time, finds out that they've had 3 children together, and all this. And what he, anyway, he ends up having a fling with his ex, even though she's married, and the husband finds out late, well, whatever, I'm not gonna, you know, spoil it. But basically, what this book did is depress the hell out of me, because in this book, he's justifying the need to go have an affair, and he kind of breaks up with his ex, with his wife, and kind of has an affair with a married woman, but her husband's aware of it or not aware of it. Anyway, I guess what I want to say is it kind of glorifies that whole thing of, well, you've been in a marriage for a really long time, things get stagnant, you know, things fall apart, you get introduced to something that you once had that you lost, and you want to go rekindle it. The message in this book, I'm really confused as what the message being sent out is. The message I got from it, or what I took away from this book, was that you can't let your relationship be complacent. You can't let it get boring. You need to really open your eyes and count your blessings and realize the gift that you have with the person that you are with. You probably don't forget what your relationship means. Don't forget what your spouse means to you. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, I guess. And that's what I got out of the book. I don't know if that was the intent of the book, but it kind of... Hey, we're all infallible. No one is perfect. I understand. I'm far from perfect. I've made a gazillion mistakes in my life. But I guess when I'm reading a book like this and the character comes up with excuses for the marriage falling apart and justifications for going ahead and having the fling, and then at the end of the day having the fling, and it's like, well, you know what? It's okay. You got it out of your system. It's okay. And there's just, I guess there's no emotional repercussion for what happened. And maybe I'm just a little square. But it really got me depressed to think that the character in the book, to me, is just, I don't know. There's nothing, he's not better than me. He's not a role model. He doesn't go on a journey and regret things he's done. The only thing that he's done is realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I do love my wife. Maybe I'm going to give it another try. That's, you know, it's just, he goes through all these things that are not really good, and I don't think you went about it the right way, but hey, we all make mistakes. I'm not going to be the one to judge. I'm not perfect by any stretch. But to read a book that doesn't have any moral, there's no moral to it. Maybe I like a moral in my story. I don't mind a story where someone screws up, they're a despicable person, they do all these horrible things, and in the end, you either die because you're a horrible prick, or you come around and go, oh my God, I need to atone for the things I've done and be a better person. So there's a journey in a book, and I kind of like seeing a journey from a character evolving. But I don't feel like this character evolved, and when he decides, you know what, I'm just going to stay with my wife, she's actually pretty great, I don't feel that he's like, Oh man, what was I thinking? What an idiot I am. She's amazing. I didn't get that. I got, she, you know what? She's pretty good. You know what? I got it pretty good. Yeah. It's just more of a, Charlie Brownish. Oh well. Or Eeyore. You know, it was just, it didn't really, there really was no resonance. Like, I really got the best thing in the world here. I really need to count my blessings. It was just kind of, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I really hated that, and I really hate this book. Was the writing good? Sure, the writing was good. I was captivated from beginning to end. The Best of Adam Sharp is the name of the book, by the way. I know I didn't mention that earlier. I don't remember the name of the author, but you can look. I will list it and where you can find the book. I'll use my Goodreads link. But anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, does a book have to have, if you're reading a book or watching a movie, does the character have to be a good person? Does the character have to be charismatic? When you're watching a movie like Iron Man, Tony Stark is not really a good person, but he's charismatic enough, and he does actually have a moral center that he does get back around to every time. Even though he may do things that aren't that good, they're not super horrible, or they're things you can come back from and still be a good person. But this guy didn't really come back around. Tony Stark in the Iron Man movies comes back around to Pepper Potts. And even though he doesn't treat her the way he should, eventually he does. And this guy, eventually he does treat his wife better. I don't think he treats her great, though. It's just sort of, well, this is comfortable. Meh, meh. Man, I don't know. So it kind of got me depressed a little bit to think that this is okay. And it just kind of feels the way society is nowadays. Now, the other thing is, I've been listening to this effing podcast with Russell Brand is guesting on the Joe Rogan podcast. And you know what? Russell Brand has been a very despicable person. And I've never been a fan. Yeah, he's kind of likable. And maybe sometimes I can get around it. But I keep going back to the Anthony Kiedis biography that I read. Scar Tissue, I believe it's called. That, look, he admits, I'm a junkie, I'm no good, I'm not nice to my girl, or a girl, or whoever he's with. He's always going to be a junkie, he's always going to fall off the train, he's never going to get better, he's never going to be a better person, I'm just not a good person. That's the message I get out of that book, and that's the message I get out of this book, The Best of Adam Sharp. It's the same thing. It's, I'm not a good person, I'm never going to get better, but you know what? This girl's putting up with me, so, you know, she's not smart enough to realize that I don't really appreciate her, but what else are we going to do? Who else are we going to find that's better? Let's not turn her back in 20 years. Let's just live with it. So, I mean, man, so after listening to this podcast, right, and I really recommend it. I've already shared it on my page and stuff like that. That, you know what, this lackadaisical view of things, this kind of not lack of responsibility or ownership over things, just kind of, well, yeah, you know, this is my problem and I'll deal with it. But there's just no real grabbing the brass ring or grabbing and saying, you know what, I fucked up. I better get my shit together. This just lack of just not doing that. I don't know if it's the way I was brought up, the way the old man, my old man had a great character arc. He had an amazing character arc. My dad wasn't always the greatest person in the world, but he continuously reinvented himself and tried to make up for the sins he had committed, or whatever you want to call it. He didn't want to be the bad guy anymore. He really wanted to make up for who he was. And if this was a story that you're seeing in a movie or in a book, his character arc is pretty damn good and pretty amazing and pretty inspirational. Because I don't think my dad was ever a bad person, But regardless, he always tried to make up for not being good enough. And he always strove to be better and be a better person and be better to people. So maybe that's clouding my judgment. But I guess what I want to say further, listen to that podcast, Russell Brand. He turned his life around and he's doing some amazing things now. And he's being a better person and working on it and figuring shit out. That is the ending of Scar Tissue that we should have seen. That book is an incomplete book because his character arc, there isn't one. There is no end to the character arc. He's just miring in obscurity of emotions and becoming a better person. He's just not getting there and just not really caring. So, further to this, in my talk with Danny Roy, check out the episodes, they're pretty cool. One thing he says, and one thing that we talked about that enters into this discussion, is caring, not being lackadaisical about things. And specifically when it comes to music, I think that our band Dome, and I do toot our own horn, I apologize. I did that in the podcast I do with my brother, and sometimes we don't publish the episodes we talk about where we're kind of talking about the band, because we do feel we are proud of the band and we do toot our own horn, but it's tooting our own horn along the lines of we really care about the band, we really care about the product we're putting together, we really love every single one of our songs, and we do, you know, there's the seal of approval, we do put the seal of approval on our music and we really do care. So we've played with some bands, and I'm not dissing, I'm just saying, we've played with some bands that when you watch them play, they are a band. They are they are four or five people, whatever, united in a front to being a band and being the band called whatever they're called. They believe in themselves and they believe in the music, the writing, and they believe in their performance. There's bands that I've seen that have that. There's bands I've seen that don't, and it's not a diss against them. It's more of a, you know what, they really love music and they love playing music. But they're not, it's not a scene where, hey, we're in this band, we really believe in this band. It's like, we really like to play music. And that is good, and that is fine, and that is akin to being in a cover band. You love music and you just want to play it. But some bands transcend, and some bands just play because they love to play music. But the feeling I get when I'm jamming with Dome or playing on stage or writing songs with Dome, when we're putting material out there and playing it for people, we have conviction and we love what we are doing. We believe in the material. There isn't a song we play, we're just going to go through the motions, because I don't really like that song. We don't do that at all. We don't believe that way about our music. We really like that song. We really like every song that we've written. And if we have songs that we don't like, those songs don't see the light of day. We beat the shit out of a song until we all like it. That's the way we roll. So there's some bands you see, they're lackadaisical. Like they write a song, it's just like, oh, okay, I'm going to write a song now. It's not, we have the song that we really believe in. It's like, well, we need another song, let's just add another song. But they don't work, I feel like they don't work the song through as a unit, as a group, as a band. They just kind of put the song together so they have another song to add to the list, set list. They don't really believe in the song. They don't really feel the song. They don't emote the song out to the audience. And it's not a bad thing. They're very good musicians, but it's lacking a certain level of depth. And that's what I got out of those books, out of the Anthony Kiedis book, out of these books that, or out of the, it's just like, yeah, you know, here's a formula. Man falls in love with his ex and experiences the love of his life and realizes it never really was the love of his life. The love of his life is the woman he's married to. He just lost his step with her. And once he gets it out of his system, he goes back to his ex and realizes, I was totally wrong. He becomes super apologetic and realizes everything that he's about to give away for something that he never, ever had. And he does everything he can to win his love back. That is a character arc. That is a story arc. That is not being lackadaisical. That is being, I fucked up. I'm going to make it better. I'm really going to own this, and I'm going to make it better. And I'm going to regret the things I did to get where I was, but I'm going to love my life and love the woman in it, or the man, whatever it is. That is what it should have been. And the Anthony Kiedis book should be, you know what? I kept fucking over my friends, my bandmates, my lovers, my label, my business partners. I just kept fucking up and fucking up. And in the end, a light went on. And I finally got it. And I got my shit together. And I apologized to everyone. And I put myself 200% back into my band and my businesses and my friend. And we put out the best album we ever have. And we're still putting out the best albums we ever have. I can't listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers knowing that he is only half-assing everything he does in that band because he hasn't gotten his shit together. That's how the book feels to me. And further to being a band, I watched an amazing performance. I've been watching some amazing performances on this show called Live at the Roslyn, which is hosted by the Village Idiots. Props to those guys. This show's amazing. I believe, and it sure feels as well, they're picky with the bands they're putting on there. The bands they're putting on there really give a shit about what they're doing. They have that thing, that feeling, that whole, we love what we're doing, we love this music, and we will stand behind it 100%, and we're going to be honest when we play this for you. That's all I got to say. Believe in something and put yourself behind something. Don't go half-ass. Don't just sit on your couch. Go grab the day. Message for the day. See you on the flip side.